Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good to see you. I have notices about today. Apologies if anybody hasn't got the chair they wanted. The school didn't put the high chairs out for us, so we've had to manage with what we've got. I've got to tell you that this time will include songs and prayers and readings and a message. So that'll be good, won't it? There isn't any tea or coffee because it's bank holiday and we hadn't got anybody to serve tea or coffee. Our offering will be taken later. If you don't wish to contribute to the work of the church or to the children, please don't feel embarrassed. Just let the bags go past you. There's no obligation. We're welcome to have you anyway. That's a note for me. Right, okay. I'll do that then. Hang on, that's Alistair's sermon. I'll put that there. We're going to join the disciples for the first half of this morning. We're going to join the disciples as they experience all sorts of events after Easter. Because we're in the period after Easter now, before Pentecost. So let's just join them again on Easter Sunday, and we're going to start with a song of Easter praise. So we sing, "See What a Morning." Sit to pray. Living God, this is the day that starts a week. This is the day of rising. This is the day that starts new life. This is the day to sing for joy. For Christ our Lord, though killed on a cross, is now alive forever. So we gather together to rejoice to give thanks that this day and all our days are lived in the light of that hope. Thank you. Amen. And you're singing nicely, so we'll sing again. So they had Jesus back with them, the disciples, for 40 days, we're told. Then he left them, and he went back to heaven, back to his Father. Next Thursday is Ascension Day, when we remember that Jesus rose. When I was in junior school, I went to Wolstanton Church School, and on Ascension Day, we went to church first thing in the morning, all of us, and then we went home for the rest of the day. So it was sort of good news and bad news, Ascension Day. I'm going to read the story. I can't find the Bible. The story told by Luke. When he led the disciples out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Got any children? No, we haven't. Oh, we have got some children, yes. Yes. I thought we might think a little bit about heaven. Jesus went back into heaven. And I don't know what picture you have of heaven. Silver and gold and light and joy. And for me, it's a lot about colour. So we're going to sing about colours. But in order that you will sing better, I'm going to give you some streamers.
Could you go and give them out to willing people, please?
With some more children.
Hold on. Right. Put your hand up if you would like a screamer. The girls can come and give you one.
Some more children, Sue.
Oh, I've got some more children.
Excellent. You've just come at the right time.
Go into the middle of the passageway, you can. You'll have a bit more room, won't you? We're going to sing Colours of Day to remind us that heaven is full of colour. And we'll stand to sing if you wish, or not, if you'd rather stay sitting down.
Right, in that case, I have to hold them up. I want everybody to see all of these things. capacity, and you manage, and you hold two in that hand, two in that hand, and you hold one in that hand, this one here, and that one in that hand, and I'll hold this one. Okay, show everybody. Can somebody put them in the right order? Well then, can you reorganise them and arrange them?
Oh, I think in fact you're going now, so you might as well take your bag. Well done. Have you ever thought what the disciples might feel like when Jesus left them? It says in Luke's gospel that they went rejoicing, but I wonder whether there was a bit of worry. Alistair's theme today is anguish to acceptance. Maybe they didn't feel anguish, but I'm sure it wasn't all joy for them, because they didn't know that Pentecost was coming. All they knew was that Jesus, who had been with them, had gone. A prayer reflection about the disciples and about us. Lord, it's hard to understand why you had to leave your friends. Even though the disciples didn't always succeed, it must have been easier to live by your teaching when you were present with them in human form. You call us now to live by faith. But faith is a fragile thing, weak and wavering sometimes. Ascended Lord, sometimes it is as though you have left us all over again. Where are you when children are starving? When a family loses 9 of its 10 children in Gaza? When the elderly are attacked in their homes? When the church ignores even its most obvious tasks? When we fear the way of dying and even death itself? Even as we sing praise to the ascending Christ, we want to cling to the Jesus we know. For partings leave us confused and bereft. We do not want to walk alone. Faithful God, remind us that you continue with us and all those living in pain and hunger and need and grief today. all those whose experience today is of loneliness and loss and abandonment and anguish. You are the thread which does not break. This day stay close to us and to all for whom we pray. And remind us again that by your resurrection you conquered death. By your ascension you offered us the glory of heaven. And by your Spirit you guide and lead your people and offer us healing and comfort. Grant us that peace which holds firm in all circumstances. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, Alistair will guide our thought from anguish to acceptance in one of the Psalms which we've been thinking about recently. Psalm 31, verses 1 to 10. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I will trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love. For you saw my affliction and you knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. But be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction. My bones grow weary. Poor David, you can see, you can hear his anguish there, can't you? We're going to sing two songs. No, we're going to sing three songs. The first one is a song set to the tune of Blow the Wind Southerly. During this one song, this first song, we will receive our offering. And then, please, will you bring your offerings? Will you stop then? And then we'll sing the other two after we've dedicated the offering. So we sing Spirit of Holiness, Wisdom and Faithfulness, and bring to God our offering.
Spirit of Holiness, wisdom and faithfulness, wind of the Lord, blowing strongly and
Thank you, Ian. Living Lord, we bring you our gifts in gratitude for your many gifts to us. May they be used well and in line with your will. And may your Spirit be the strength of our serving, as well as the joy of our worshipping. We thank you now for the message which you have given to Alistair this week. Please speak through his words, and may our hearts be ready to hear what you have to say to us today. Amen. And as we prepare to hear our hearts to hear what Alistair has to say, either sit or stand while we sing two more songs. Oh. Be still. It's be still, and then Spirit of God unseen is the wind. So you might like to sit if you feel like it.
Thanks ever so much, Sue, for leading us in worship. I guess most of us will know the story of Cinderella. Cinderella is cruelly treated by her stepmother and stepsisters. She meets and marries a handsome prince, and they all live. Thank you very much. You know, there are still some people who seem to suggest the Christian life is a bit like that. Come to Christ and you'll have health and wealth. Come to Christ and all your problems will disappear. We even sing it, don't we? Jesus, we celebrate your victory, and in your presence, our problems disappear. Come to Christ and follow him and obey him and serve him, and everything will work out just fine and you'll live happily ever after. My experience, and I suspect the experience of many of you, is that the Christian life is not like that. And we see that as we look at Psalm 31. It's going to be the last in our series, which has been called Praying the Psalms. So Psalm 31 is written by David. It's written at a time when he's facing really difficult times. Now, he can't quite be sure when those difficult times are. In verse 21, David talks about being rescued from a besieged city. So it could be the time when the people who lived in the city of Keilah conspire to hand David over to Saul, who you may remember is relentlessly pursuing him, who wants to kill him. Other parts of the psalm suggest that it's written during the rebellion of David's son Absalom, who wants to overthrow him. But maybe in some ways it's good that we don't know the exact setting of the psalm, because we can apply it to our own lives more easily. Now, I've called this sermon From Anguish to Assurance. And what really struck me about the psalm was this. David moves from anguish to assurance twice. So he goes from anguish to assurance in verses 1 to 8. And then he goes from anguish to assurance again, verses 9 to 24. So it could be just when David thought that everything's finally resolved. You ever had that feeling? Everything's finally resolved, then things start kicking off again. And he runs into a whole lot of trouble. Or it could be this psalm is just one big difficult time, and he introduces it in verses 1 to 8, then explores it in more depth in verses 9 to 24. Whatever may be the case, we are going to see how David prays in difficult times. And we will see how he goes from anguish to assurance. So here's the first prayer cycle, if you like, from verses 1 to 8. And the first thing David does is he asks God for help. I wonder where you run to in difficult times. I guess many people might run to family or friends. Many people might run straight to Google. Maybe many people might run somewhere else, maybe to drink or drugs or something else altogether. But what I want you to notice about David, you know, he runs straight to the Lord. And that's always the best place to run. Verse 1, in you, Lord, I've taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. That word refuge has always been one of my favourite words. It's a lovely word of security and safety and shelter, isn't it? So the first thing David does is he runs to the Lord. He seeks refuge in him. And then look how passionate and personal his prayer is. Look how he prays. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. So maybe here's the first challenge. Where do you run to in times of difficulty? Will you run to the Lord for help? Will you run to the Lord for refuge? Will your prayers be just as passionate and personal as David in the most difficult of times? So, having run to the Lord for help, having asked God for help, David then acknowledges the truth of who God is. I wonder if you ever walked across one of those wobbly bridges. The sort of bridges with the wooden slats and the ropes. If you've not got a head for height, just looking at that will make your legs go wobbly, won't they? Never mind the bridge. But sometimes that's what life feels like, doesn't it? Just feels like you are walking on a wobbly bridge. But in times of difficulty, in times of unsteadiness, let's affirm the truth of the steadiness of God. When life feels like that wobbly bridge, affirm the truth of someone who is much more steady. And that's what David does. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. In the most unsteady of times, when life feels like that wobbly bridge, David seeks refuge in the Lord, the one who is indeed the rock, the fortress, the refuge in those wobbly times. And then, having acknowledged the truth of who God is, David affirms his trust in God. And look what he says. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You'll recognize those words, I'm sure. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. Actually, into your hands I commit my spirit was the prayer that Jewish children used to pray before they went to sleep at night. It's quite similar to the old 18th century prayer that people used to have up in their houses. You might even recognize this one. Now I lay me down to sleep. Anybody know that one? I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. But of course, most important of all, it's these words that Jesus quoted on the cross. The last words he said. And he calls out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he'd said this, he breathed his last. Praying along those lines is a great way to begin every day, isn't it? Father, into your hands I commit my life. I commit my day. I commit my time. My family, my work, whatever I've got to face this day. Father, I want to commit it all to you. And having done that, David says this in verse 6, I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. In other words, what he's saying is, well, other people around me, they can give their lives to worthless idols. But that's not what I'm going to do. I am going to trust in the Lord. And the reality is that people, possessions, position are always going to let us down. And so it's so important, isn't it? We affirm our trust in the Lord. And that's exactly what David does. And then he moves on to adoring God in worship. And he says, I'll be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. In those most awful of times, David is able to say, Lord, you see what I'm going through. You know the anguish that is deep within me. And I'm glad and rejoicing in your love. Even in those difficult times, I'm still going to be glad. I'm still going to rejoice in your love. And I think, too, David also adds that he's glad that he hasn't been given over into the hands of his enemies. You've not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. When life feels like that wobbly bridge and you're in danger of falling. When life feels like that dark dungeon where there's no escape. When life feels like that scorching desert from which there's no relief. Look what you can still say with David. You can set my feet, Lord. You can set my soul, Lord, in a spacious place. Green pasture, a place of refuge, renewal, refreshment. And of course, if the psalm ended there, we thought that's great. Everything is sorted out, and now we can move on. But as we mentioned earlier, it doesn't, does it? And it starts all over again. David is again going to ask God for help, but he's going to be much more descriptive in what he's going through. So here is the second prayer cycle. Begins in the same way. David asks God for help. Here's a question for you, which you won't know the answer to. When David first asked for help, how many words did he use? It's my age, gives you a clue. 41. When David asked for help the second time, how many words does he use? 5. Be merciful to me, Lord. And sometimes that's all you can say, isn't it? When you're on that wobbly bridge in the most difficult of times, sometimes all you feel you can get out of your mouth are 5 words. Be merciful to me, Lord. It's like the prayer the tax collector prayed, isn't it, in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. All he can say is just a brief prayer. All he can say is this: God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's like the prayer that Peter prayed. Remember when he steps out of the boat, starts walking on the water, going along very nicely, isn't he? But then he looks around and he sees the wind and the waves and he begins to sink. All he can do is cry out, Lord, save me. That's all he can say. It's like the brief prayer the man whose son was possessed by an evil spirit prayed. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. It's an American Christian rock band called Seventh Time Down. One of their songs is called Just Say Jesus. And you might sort of feel some identification with the lyrics of the song. Life gets tough and times get hard. It's hard to find the truth in all the lies. If you're tired of wondering why your heart isn't healing and nothing feels like home because you're lost and alone just screaming at the sky, when you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. If the words won't come because you're too afraid to pray, just say Jesus. Just say Jesus. When life is a nightmare, when the world is collapsing all around you, sometimes all you can do is just pray those brief arrow prayers, isn't it? Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, save me. Jesus. Having asked God for help, David articulates his agony to God. And this is what we meant, that David seems to be exploring things in much more depth in this second prayer cycle. So look at what he says. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I'm in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life's consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. Just look at some of the words that David uses there in 9 and 10. Distress, sorrow, grief, anguish, groaning, affliction. And we know too, don't we, that sort of experience. We know the effect that difficult times can have on our own minds and bodies. Put us in absolute turmoil, can't they? We also know the effect that difficult times can have on our relationships. And David will go on to talk about all his enemies who are seeking to harm him, oppose him, standing against him. But even when he feels as if things can't get any worse, amazingly, David doesn't stop there, because he goes on to affirm his trust in God. And he says in verse 14, "But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God." And even though he can't change the reaction of other people around him, he's still able to trust in the Lord. He's still able to say, "You are my God." There's an old saying, isn't there, that says, "My response is my responsibility." And we can't stop what other people are doing all around us, of course not. But we can be responsible for what we're doing, for how we respond. And I love how David responds. "Whatever else is happening around me, Lord, however other people treat me, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to say, you are my God." When you're ambushed by anxiety, say, "You are my God." When you're afraid, when you're lonely, say, "You are my God." When you're ashamed and guilty, say, "You are my God." When your heart is just overwhelmed at everything going on in the world around us at the moment, when you feel that you're on that wobbly bridge, say, "You are my God." When you feel that things are just not going to get any better, say, "You are my God." When you feel that nothing is ever going to change, say, "You are my God." And David continues to affirm his trust in the Lord. In verse 15, he says, "My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me." He affirms that God is sovereign. He affirms that everything that happens to him is filtered through the loving hands of the Lord. He affirms that whatever is the case, his times are in those loving hands of the Lord. Some of you will be familiar with the famous beginning, fantastic words of A Tale of Two Cities. Do you remember how that begins? Brilliantly written, isn't it? "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us." And even though the times in which we live are just as uncertain, just as unstable as David's, even though we may have the best of times and the worst of times, sometimes even in the same day, we can still affirm our trust in the Lord, because our times are in his hands. And where else would you want them to be than safely in those hands? And then look else at what David says. He says, "Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I have cried out to you." David has cried out to the Lord that the Lord's face might shine on him. That reminds you of another well-known benediction that we pray often at the end of our services from Numbers 6. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." If you know the Lord's face is shining on you, you know you're going to be okay. And then finally, David adores God in worship. "How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love when I was in a city under siege." So David is saying, "I know God cares for his people, and I've experienced God's care for his people." this exuberant praise doesn't mean that actually anything's changed. There's nothing in the psalm to suggest that his circumstances are now better, or his situation has improved, or everything is sorted out. But despite all that, David adores God in worship, and he praises him because he's shown him the wonders of his love. Well, from anguish to assurance. So David goes from anguish to assurance, and then he goes from anguish to assurance all over again. And I hope he shows us how we can pray in those most difficult of times. So like David, let's ask God for help. Let God be the first place you run to. Like David, articulate your agony to God. Don't pretend, don't wear a mask, don't put on a brave front. Just tell God how it is. Like David, affirm your trust in God, the rock, the refuge, the fortress, when life feels like that wobbly bridge. And then adore God in worship, because he loves you more than you can ever begin to know. He's with you, and he's never going to let you go. Let's pray together. Father, many times when we read through the Psalms, we want to echo the prayer of your disciples. Lord, will you teach us to pray? And we pray that you will indeed teach us to pray, even in these most difficult of times. Lord, may you always be the first place that we run to. May you remind us that we don't have to pretend with you. We don't have to wear a mask or put on a facade. That you're big enough to take all that we throw at you. And help us too to always affirm our trust in you in those wobbly of times. Thank you that you are a refuge, a fortress, a rock, a hiding place. And Lord, always we want to adore you in worship. Because like David, we can always offer you our praise, because you continue to show us the wonders of your love. And may we know the wonders of your love today and in this coming week. And in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We're going to close with a final song, which again I hope will be an encouragement to us in those difficult times. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you alone.
trust in you.
I will trust in you.
For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me.
And let's pray together. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.